So that, cool. Let's pray for the word. Father, we thank you this morning for the preaching of the word. We thank you for your presence. Your presence is glorious. And today we pray that your word would change us. We pray that your word would position us to see you clearer, to understand who you are, to appreciate your love for us. We thank you for the entrance of your word today. Your word brings understanding and brings wisdom to those of a simple heart. We give you praise and we give you honor today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, is my mic okay? We good? No? Yes? It's good? Thank you. Praise the Lord. One of the questions that people ask around the issue of prayer is, what actually happens when one prays? What actually happens when I pray? And because of that question, some people have really delved into prayer because they got an understanding of what happens when they pray. But others have shied away from prayer because they don't really comprehend what happens when they pray. So today I want to deal with a topic entitled Experiences of the Secret Place. What do you experience when you enter your secret place? And my prayer for you this morning is that this message would not just be additional knowledge, additional information. My prayer is that this message would result in revelation that will bring about a transformed life, where there's a transformation that takes place in your behavior and in your way of life. Hallelujah. One of the things that I've realized in life is that many people know what they need to do. We know that it is good to go to the gym. It is good to exercise. We know that a lot of sugar isn't good for your system. But how many of us actually got to the gym? How many of us actually reduce the amount of sugar that we put in our food? So it's one thing to know. It's another thing to actually do what you know about. So this morning, my prayer for you is that this will not just be information, just another sermon without life change. My prayer for you is that after this service, you'll be fired up for prayer. You'll be saying, I just want to spend more time with this King of Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. So last week, we introduced this new series entitled The Secret Place. Strategies for the secret place. And we started off from the book of Genesis chapter 32, the story of Jacob. When Jacob was coming out of his father-in-law's house, going back to Canaan, where he was going to encounter his brother Esau. And in the process of him going back, he had a special encounter. And so today we're going to continue from verse 22 of Genesis 32. The Bible says, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two slave women and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the stream and sent over what he had. Verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled there with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, no, I will not let you go, except you bless me, until you bless me. What an attitude. I will not let you go until you change me. That's the attitude that Jacob had in that moment of encounter. He said, I will not let you go until you change me, until you transform me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. As if to say, the blessing that you want is attached to your identity. He said to him, I won't let you go until you bless me. And the angel said to him, what's your name? He was asking for a blessing. And the angel said, the blessing that you need is in your identity. It's in who you are. What's your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For like a prince, you have power with God and with man, and have prevailed. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Here we have one of those unique moments of the appearance of Christ in the form of a man, in the form of an angel. Those moments of God appearing as a man are scattered across the Old Testament, and they are called the theophanies of God, when God appears in man, or the Christophany, when Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, when he appeared from time to time in the Old Testament. There are a number of examples where we see the theophany of God. The one that comes to mind is the story of Abram in Genesis 18, where he entertained three angels, and one of them was God. And the Bible says, and the Lord met up with Abram under the tree of Mamre. And the Lord, and yet he said, three men came before Abram. So one of them was the theophany of God, the appearance of God. Another story is in Judges chapter 13, the story of Manoah. When Samson was about to be birthed, an angel of the Lord appeared before Manoah's wife and said, you shall have a son, and his name shall be Samson. This is how the child will grow. Another instance is the story of Gideon. When the angel of the Lord appeared before Gideon, and the angel of the Lord said to Gideon, mighty man, go in thy strength. And Gideon had an issue with that. We know the story of Joshua. When Joshua was about to take over Jericho, the Bible says a man appeared before Jericho who had a sword pulled out of its sheath. And Joshua said, are you for us or you're against us? And he says, I'm the head of the armies of the Most High God, the theophany of God. And here we see another moment, the theophany of God, where God appeared before Jacob. The moment that Jacob was left alone, something happened. We've read in verse 24 where the Bible says, and Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled there with him until the breaking of day. The moment we decide to spend time with God, God comes up. Hello, somebody. The moment we decide to spend time with God, God is attracted. So what is the first thing we need to understand today when it comes to the experiences of the secret place? This is the issue. The secret place attracts God. Hello, somebody. When you are in the secret place, you attract God. And the moment you have a revelation that the day that I seek God with all my heart, his attention, the heavenly host attention, is attracted to where I am. Wherever you are, that place becomes a holy place. Hallelujah. Many believers don't have that revelation. That is why we don't engage in prayer. But the moment you have a revelation that when I decide to engage God in prayer, his presence is attracted there. God is attracted by prayer. Listen to me. In the same way that our natural relationships are built one conversation at a time, our intimacy with God is also built one prayer at a time. Your intimacy with God is built up one prayer at a time. When you wake up in the morning, you pray to God, you draw closer to God. Hallelujah. When you are at work, you get a moment, you pray to God, you draw the attention of God. You go back home, you get a moment, you talk to God, you draw the attention of God. So I'm saying your intimacy with God is built one prayer at a time. What am I talking about? One prayer at a time. One conversation at a time. Because prayer is conversation with God. It is when humanity decides to speak to divinity. It's when a human being decides to go in the presence of the Most High God and they pray. What makes prayer a moment of intimacy is that prayer is not meant to be monologue. So many times we pray, but it's one-way conversation. You are the one who is talking and talking and talking and talking, but you've never taken time to say, can I just wait a moment? I want to hear what's on the heart of God for me. Just think about your natural relationships. What is the depth of a relationship where it's just one way? It's just one way. Whenever you come together with your friend, it is you who is talking, and the friend does not get a chance to speak back. And I want you to know that relationship is very shallow. You cannot count on that relationship. I want you to know the same thing applies to our walk with God, our conversation with God. You speak to God, you wait for Him to speak back to you. Have you given time to God to speak back to you? It changes the dynamics of prayer. The moment you allow God to speak back to you, there is coming a time that some of you will get into your prayer closet, and instead of you praying, you just wait. And you say, Lord, today I'm not going to talk. I'm going to wait on you to speak back to me. If you tried for the first time, your mind would wander because you're not used to doing that. But when you exercise yourself in that manner, you'll be able to sit back long enough to hear the still, small voice of the Lord. To many of us, we haven't done that before. We come and we put down our shopping list. I need peanut butter, I want milk, I need sugar, I need a new bed, I need a new whatever. And then you're done, you step out of your closet. And he's saying, I want to tell you how to get the peanut butter. I want to tell you how to get the new bed. But you're going out of prayer, thinking that, well, it's just going to happen by itself. The moment we wait on God and He starts speaking back to us, He will give us ideas. Glory be to God. Amen. James 4 verse 8. Popular scripture, the Bible says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. What a beautiful statement. When you decide to draw near to God in prayer, He will draw near to you. Glory be to God. He will never ignore anybody who wants to spend time with Him. God will never do that. I want you to realize that the Bible is telling me something, that this whole relationship right now, the way things stand, it is in my coat. It's in my control. Because God did already what He was supposed to do. He sent His only begotten Son. He showed you that He loves you. He was prepared to die for you on the cross. And the Lord Jesus came and He died on the cross for you. So we are no longer waiting on God. God is waiting on us. God is saying, if you make the move, I will respond to your move. Why? Because He made the first move. Nobody went to heaven asking for Jesus to die for us. Out of His own volition, He sent His only begotten Son so that you and I can be restored to Him. The question is, how are we responding to the love of Calvary? Listen to me. Prayer is one of the most appropriate ways of responding to the love of God. Prayer is one of the most appropriate ways. Why am I saying one of the most appropriate ways? It is one of the ways you build intimacy with God. It is one of the ways of saying, I receive your love that you did for me on the cross of Calvary, and I'm drawing closer to you. I just want to know you more. That is why we're singing this morning. We just want to be with you. King of glory, we just want to be in your presence. We just want to hear your voice, Lord. The question is, whose voice have you been hearing? Whose voice have you been paying attention to? But this morning, the church needs to understand that the secret place attracts the voice of God. The secret place attracts the presence of God. Go with me to Jeremiah 29, verse 12, from the Message version of the Bible. The Bible says here, when you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I will listen. What a beauty. What a confident builder. He says here, when you come to me, I will pay attention to you. When you pray, I will listen. He says here, when you come looking for me, you will find me. When the church starts looking for God, they will find God. When the church starts seeking God in their secret place, they will find God. This is what he says. He says, yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I will make sure you won't be disappointed. When you get serious about God, when you make up your mind that God is more important than anything else, God is more important than the black box, God is more important than watching rugby, watching soccer, God is more important than all these other things. It says here, when you get serious, could it mean that maybe we are not serious about our seeking of God? The Message translation says here, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, wanting it more than anything else, it means that you will not allow distractions in your life because you want the presence of God more than anything else. It means that you will not give reasons why you cannot be with God because you want Him more than anything else. When the church wants God more than anything else, the church cannot wait to pray together in corporate times of prayer. Like this morning, it was a typical time for us to be praying together as a church for different issues around us. Now, in your natural relationship, the more you talk with your friend, the deeper your relationship gets with that friend. The more you open up to your friend, the more you share the deep secrets of your lives, you find that you will not share everything about your life, but to that one, you are able to open up your life. Why? There is a high level of intimacy. Why? Because you always communicate. So when Jacob decided to be left by himself, the angel of the Lord said, "This is the time, he is ready." When you are ready to meet up with God, you carve out time for him, and he will not disappoint you. He will not let you down. So number two, what else happens in the secret place? The secret place breaks you and changes your walk. That is one of the elements of the secret place. When you are in your time of prayer, prayer breaks you, child of God. Prayer changes you. In Genesis 32, verse 25, the Bible says, "And when he saw that he did not prevail against him." So there was a wrestling match going on here. Not the kind of wrestling that we see on WWF. No, proper one. You know, the Bible says when he saw that he could not prevail against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Listen to me, put this down. Prayer does not change the mind of God, but it changes you by aligning you with his will. Does somebody hear me this morning? So many times we go into our prayer closets almost thinking that you're going to arm twist God for him to change his mind. No, prayer changes you. It does not change God. The one who was broken was not the angel. The one who was broken was Jacob. The one who had a different way of walking after this moment was not the angel. It was Jacob. Jacob left that place limping. When you enter in your time of prayer, I want you to know that God is not so much interested in changing your situation as much as he is interested in changing you. Prayer changes situations. Yes, we have said that. That is very powerful and it is very true. But the most important aspect of prayer is that prayer changes you as a person. Prayer realigns your priorities with the priorities of God. When you understand that, you go into a prayer closet with a different way of expectations. Ultimately, our purpose as believers is to bring glory to God. And therefore, when we pray and we say, "Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, do it as long as it brings glory to you." You then say, "Lord, touch my heart so that I can be useful in your hands. So that you can use me for your glory and for your purposes." So when you enter into a place of prayer, you become like the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he said, "Yet not my will, but your will be done." Yes. Yet not my will, but your will be done. When you enter in your place of prayer, God will change you. I want you to know that when God was done with Jacob, Jacob was a broken man. When God was done with Jacob, Jacob looked at himself in a different way. The Bible says the angel knew where to break Jacob. When you are in prayer, God knows where to touch you. The touch that will change your life for good. The touch that will change your perspective about the situation you're going through right now. And the Bible says the angel broke the hip of Jacob. You will know that if you want to do weight lifting, you need to leverage your body on your hip, on your pelvis. So your pelvis area is one of those areas that are so key to your ability to push heavy weights. And the Lord broke that place of dependence. The place where Jacob would depend on if he was going to fight with Esau, his brother, physically. He was going to depend on his hips, and God broke him at that place of his dependence. When you are in prayer, the Lord will break your areas of dependence until you see that your area is not strong enough for what you are facing. Glory be to God. The Bible says here in verse 31, and as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him and he limped upon his thigh. He was almost dragging his leg. He was dragging his leg. At that point, he was no longer strong in his physical state, but he was strong in his spirit man. When you enter in your secret place, it is a place where you are strengthened in your spirit man. And when you come out, all the pride would have been shed away. Because in your prayer closet, there is a lot of letting go that happens. There is a moment in your prayer time where you say, not my will, but your will be done. And then he says, my grace is sufficient for you. And you say, Lord, I acknowledge my weaknesses, but your grace is sufficient for me. Lord, I don't deserve mercy out there, but your grace is sufficient for me. Lord, I have been found wanting in this situation, but your grace is sufficient for me. Lord, I don't deserve to get this job, but your grace is sufficient for me. There is a breaking that takes place in your secret place. Prayer allows us to crucify our flesh. Where you move from a place of depending on the flesh to a place of depending on the Spirit of God. And when Jacob was walking out of that place, he realized how frail he was. He realized how weak he was. And he kept on saying, Father, if you don't help me today, this is the last day that I'll ever see the sun. It brings a level of humility in our lives when we are broken in prayer. Let me say this to you. There is a contestation in your life between the life of the spirit and the life of the flesh. There is a contestation that takes place where the flesh says, feed me, feed me, feed me. And the spirit says, feed me, feed me, feed me. The question is, who wins between these two? And whoever wins will control your life. When you spend time in the secret place, the spirit man gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And before you know it, you walk out there and the spirit is in charge and not your emotions. Glory be to God. That is what happens in the secret place. That contestation is no match when you are in the secret place. Because when you are in a time of prayer, your spiritual muscles are strengthened and your physical muscles are weakened. Therefore, when you walk out, you depend on the Spirit of God and not on your connections. Jacob walked out of that place a different man. Jacob knew he could not run anymore because Esau would outrun him. Jacob knew that I can't take Esau on a fight physically because I am a finished man. There is no more strength on my pelvis. When you are spending time in prayer, you then understand the type of battle you fight. Paul says, though we are in the world, but our weapons are not of this world. Our weapons are not carnal. They are mighty to the bringing down of strongholds. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We are in the world, but our weapons are not of this world. We find our weapons in the prayer closet. We normally sing, we love this song in this church. This is how I fight my battles. How do you fight your battles? In your closet, in your secret place. And I'm challenging you today, go look for your secret place. Fight for your battles right there and you will see God coming through for you. So I'm saying, prayer does not change God. Prayer changes you. Prayer realigns you with the will of God. You see, when you pray, Psalm 37 becomes a reality where it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will grant you the desires of your heart. Do you know what God does in prayer? He makes his desires to become your desires. Then all of a sudden you start desiring the salvation of souls. Something that you never desired before. But when you spend time in the presence of God, he starts putting the burden of the Lord on your heart. And you start praying the burden and the desire of God. That is why he says, delight yourself, stay in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord. When you do that, he'll give you the desires of your heart. But how does that happen? In a moment of prayer, there's a transference of desires. There's a great exchange that takes place in that moment of prayer where your desires are totally changed. They become his desires. Hallelujah. Number three, what happens in the secret place? Conception takes place in the secret place. What am I talking about? Conception takes place in the secret place. The natural way of conception to take place is when husband and wife consummate their marriage in a moment of intimacy. When they consummate their marriage, their relationship, in the moment of intimacy, there is an implantation that takes place. There is a seed that gets planted in the womb of the wife. That happens in the moment of intimacy. And conception happens. I want you to know this morning, when Jacob was having that encounter with God, conception happened in the life of Jacob. Something was conceived in the spirit. Verse 27, the angel said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For like a prince, you have power with God and with man, and have prevailed. You see, the encounter that Jacob had with the angel left him vulnerable, left him at the mercy of the angel. The encounter with the angel changed Jacob because he was exposed. Do you know that when you are in prayer, you get exposed? Prayer is not a hiding place for you. It might be secret for others, but for you, it's a moment of exposure. I don't know what has been your experience, but for me, whenever I enter in my secret place, it appears as if the Holy Spirit reminds me of certain things that I did not do right. Yeah. He reminds me of the way that I spoke to my wife. He says, you need to make right. He reminds me of what I did along the way, coming from work. Almost to say, there is a protocol to experience the secret place. The Holy Spirit reminds me of issues I need to deal with. And it's as if I don't deal with them on the onset, I won't be able to experience what God had in store for me in the secret place. So when God was having this encounter with Jacob, God wanted Jacob to see exactly who he was. And he says, what's your name? When you enter your secret place, they will ask you, what's your name? There is an identity that Jacob had. And that identity was attached to the meaning of his name, the supplanter, the cheat, the one who'd always make a way to find himself on the top of the pile. And the angel said to him, before we do what we need to do with you, we need to nullify something in your life. We need to deal with certain things in your life. Jacob, what's your name? And he says, my name is cheat. My name is supplanter. That is who I am. You see, when God is about to deal with you, there is a need for you to be vulnerable. There is a need for you to be open. There is a need for you to say, Lord, there is nothing I hide. Search my heart, O God, and see if there is any iniquity in my heart. Why do we want to be strong in the secret place? Before the one who knows everything about our lives. He said to him, what's your name, Jacob? Jacob had to tell him his name. When you come in the presence of the Lord, it is not a place of pretense. Yes. You can pretend before me because I don't know exactly what's going on behind the curtain. But when you are in the presence of God, there is no point to put on a strong face. There is no point to putting your best foot forward. When you are in the presence of God, it's a place of vulnerability. It's a place of saying, Lord, I am feeling so weak right now. I'm feeling so discouraged right now. Why is this not working in my life? What's your name? That's the story of our lives as a church. What is your name? What has been attached to you? What have they been calling you? Is there a new identity that you have? They call you a single mom. They call you a divorcee. They call you a retrenched person. I don't know what name you have, but when you enter into the presence of God, there is an exchange of identities. I want you to know that there were two people here. There was Jacob on the outside, but there was Israel on the inside. Israel was always there. Jacob was always there, and they were always fighting. They were always in each other's throat. It took the move of God to dislodge the power of Jacob over Israel. And he said to him, you're no longer going to be called Jacob. Today we break that over your life. Take on the new identity in the Lord. He says, your name shall be both man and with God. Let Israel arise today in the name of Jesus. When you pray, I want you to know there's conception that takes place. Put this down. Your level of vulnerability determines the levels of your intimacy in the Lord. The more vulnerable you are, the more chances of conception. Think about it in the physical. Conception does not happen through diffusion. You've got to be very close to that person. You've got to open up to that person. You've got to be so vulnerable to that person. In actual fact, in marriages where there's no vulnerability, intimacy is a challenge to have. Because we have what we call a closed spirit. When you are in the presence of God, you need to have an open spirit where He's able to penetrate into your life and change what needs to be changed. Does somebody hear me this morning? It is our times of intimacy with God that He drops the seed of the Spirit in our hearts. It is in our time of intimacy with God that we get to know who we are really in the Spirit. When you walk long enough with the Lord, when you spend time in the presence of God, He will reveal to you your calling. He will reveal to you your destiny. And I want you to know that calling has always been there. It was waiting for a moment of exposure. Because our destinies are not our decisions, but they are our discoveries. That's what our destinies are. We don't wake up in the middle of the night and say, I feel like I'm called to be a bus driver. No. You discover what God had planted already inside of you. That is what God said to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 1:5, He says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I ordained you a prophet to the nations. It was there. He was waiting for that moment of conception. He was waiting for that moment of release of what God had called him to be. Child of God, that will happen in the secret place. You'll hear people saying, I am doing what I'm doing because He spoke to me. He spoke to me. And when somebody knows that God has spoken to them, nothing will move them. Yeah. Things might look like they are falling apart around them, but they say, I know the one who spoke to me. I know the one who appeared to me in the middle of the night. I know the one who gave me a vision, and I know He is faithful. Amen. That is why you see people who don't give up. It is because they had a moment in the secret place. Yeah. So many times we concoct stuff and we don't hear God speaking to us. And when the winds and the storms of life come, we throw in the towel. Have you ever heard somebody coming to you and say, my sister, the Lord told me you are my wife. The Lord told me that you and I are going to get married. The sister, because the name the Lord has been brought up, they say, yes, brother. You give them 18 months and things fall apart. What happened to the Lord who spoke to you? Did you hear God speaking to you or it was your emotions? Come on, our people of God. We need to spend time in the presence of God. And when we do that, there's conception. We get God-ordained ideas that will change our situation. Let's talk about Brother Peter. Brother Peter struggled with Gentiles. Brother Peter was racist. He was tribalistic. He struggled with anyone who was Greek. He struggled with Romans. He struggled with everybody who was not an Israeli person. And yet God had called him as an apostle. And in the process of him walking as an apostle, God needed to conceive something in his spirit man that would change his walk as an apostle. And the Bible says in his time of prayer, go with me to Acts chapter 10 verse 9. See what happens when you decide to pray. Acts 10, 9. The Bible says, on the next day, now God had appeared to Cornelius. God had spoken to Cornelius. It said, look, go look for a guy by the name of Peter. He's staying in Joppa. Send some guys for him and he'll come and tell you what you need to do. Now, he sent people to Joppa. Now here verse 9 says here, on the next day, as these went on the road and drawing near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to what? Come on now, read this with me. Peter went up to the housetop to? Pray. Right. He went to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Okay? I don't know, maybe that was about 3 o'clock. About the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and desired to eat. What was the motivation of him going up the upper room? It was to pray. In other words, the moment in his mind he decided to go into the secret place, there was an alarm that was set on in heaven. And the heaven says, he's ready. He is ready to hear. He is ready to conceive. He is ready to enter in a moment of intimacy. The Bible says, and he became very hungry and desired to eat. But while they made ready, an ecstasy fell on him. And he saw the heaven opened and a certain vessel like a sheet coming down to him, being bound at the four corners and let down to the earth. We know the end of the story where in this basket, there were all sorts of animals which were considered as unclean. I would imagine there was a pig there, there was a crow in there, there were all sorts of animals that were unclean. And God says, take and eat. And Peter says, no, I'm not going to eat something that is unclean. And then it was conceived in his spirit where God said to him, do not consider something unclean that God has considered clean. And that was the turning around of Peter's ministry. Cornelius came to the knowledge of Jesus. Cornelius was a Gentile. And because of the revelation that Peter had, when he decided to enter his secret place, conception happened. His ministry was never the same. The last point. These are not the only things that happen during prayer, but I think it gives us an idea. Listen to me. The last issue is the secret place is the principal weapon for every believer. Prayer is such a powerful weapon that believers need to learn how to use. Believers need to understand how to use the mechanisms of prayer. So many times our prayers are one-dimensional. We don't know how to use the weapon of prayer. And yet it is multi-dimensional. When you enter in your time of prayer, you need to be diverse in the way that you pray. And we're going to cover some of those things as we go through this series. So battles are won in the private place first, before they are manifested in the public. Battles are won in the private place first before they are won in the public space. There was this week, we managed to get a contract, or rather we submitted a quotation for a contract. And I looked at the work that I was supposed to do. It was a lot of work. And we were supposed to submit on the 18th of October. So I was driving to one of my projects and I made a prayer to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I don't have time to do this work. One. Two, it's just complicated work. So may they not accept this quote. I said, Lord, may they not accept this quote because I don't have time for it. I don't have capacity for it. Being a child of God, I then said, well, Lord, if they accept the quote, then give me the grace to do the work. Yeah. Then I know you have given me the grace to do the work. So I left it in the hands of God. So I made these two powerful prayers. Lord, they must not accept. That's my will. Lord, that is my will. I don't want to do this work because I want to spend more time with my family. This work will take me away from my family. However, Lord, if it is your will, you will give me the grace You will give me the strength. Got to Belfast and got a call. Hey, they accepted the quote. They accepted the quote. So I started the work the following day, and I'm still going through the work, but I'm seeing there's a lightness to it. There is a grace to it. I'm seeing things that I thought I would never understand, and I'm able to put this project together. Why? Because I relinquished control. I could have been so angry with God and said, Lord, you're so unfair. Why did you allow them to accept the quote? I prayed to say they mustn't accept. But my prayer was very spiritual. I said, Lord, if it is your will, I know you will give me the grace. Glory be to God. Because I made that prayer, I already got victory. Whichever the outcome it was, there was victory for me. If they had not accepted the quote, then God knew that I did not have capacity. If they accepted the quote, God knew I have the grace to do the work. And right now I'm busy tapping into the grace. And I'm saying, Lord, you gave it to me. Give me the grace. Glory be to God. How we pray matters. There is victory in the private place. And when it comes in the private place, it will be manifested in the open. Have you ever seen a team that is really, really doing their intricate drills of as a team, doing it in front of journalists? They don't do it in front of journalists. They do it behind the doors because they don't want the opposition team to know what's really going on. So many of our victories are won or lost in privacy. What am I talking about? Victory happens in the privacy of our lives. When Jacob was done fighting in the secret place, he lifted up his eyes and he said, come hell, come thunder, come rain, I'm ready to meet my brother. Whatever my brother brings, I'm ready for it. Not because I'm strong on the outside, but because I'm strong on the inside. Glory be to God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That is the walk of a child of God. After you have prayed, you walk with confidence that I'm able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. I'm able to do this. Why? Because I prayed. Because I sought his face. Genesis 33, verse 1. And Jacob lifted his eyes and looked. And behold, Esau came, and 400 men with him. Before the encounter, Jacob would have bolted. He would have run away for his dear life. But he could not run away because he was incapacitated physically. Some of you need to be incapacitated. You need to move away from leaning on that reed. The Lord needs to break that walking stick so that you can lean on him. Glory be to God. Now the Bible says, and he divided the children to Leah and to Rachel and to the two handmaids. And he put the slave women and their children first, and Leah and her children afterward. And Rachel and Joseph last. Do you see how he was categorizing his family? He said, the slave girls in front, okay? If they get the danger first, they get wiped first. And then Leah, I really didn't love Leah. You know the story. I didn't really love this woman, but the father-in-law tricked me and I got married. Leah, you're the next one. If they wipe the slave girls, you're the next one to go and your kids. And then Rachel, the one that I really love, she'll be around me with the kids I love. Separation, segregation. He was still carrying a bit of Jacob around. I want you to know, the flesh is very stubborn. The flesh is very stubborn. That is why we need to be alert. The Bible says, be alert and be sober, for the devil, your adversary, is roaring around seeking whom he may devour. You walk victoriously today against the spirit of lust. Tomorrow, before you know it, you start looking again. You need to keep on fighting. You need to keep on fighting until victory comes your way. Now here, Jacob was still trying to be a bit wise in his own eyes, like, let's arrange them. Now here the Bible says, and he passed over in front of them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times. And he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell upon his neck and kissed him and they wept. That is the outcome of what happened in the secret place. His prayer went before him. Child of God, when you pray, prayer goes before you. Prayer fights your battles. By the time you get there, the victory is won already. Prayer went before Jacob and softened the heart of Esau. I don't know how Esau left Canaan, but what I know, when he met his brother, there was so much compassion and love that he embraced his brother and kissed him. They two brothers coming together in a moment of intimacy, and they were saying, "It has been long, my brother, 2 decades. 20 years I had not seen your face. I'm so glad that the Lord has allowed me to see your face." When you read chapter 33 going down, Esau said, "Oh, my brother, the Lord has really blessed you. Look at all that you have." What were they doing? They were celebrating the work of the Lord in their lives. But the trigger to that type of meeting was what happened the night before. What's going to happen in the open will be determined by what happened in the night before. But when you spend time in the presence of God, the presence of God will go before you. He will fight your battles. In the same way he told Jehoshaphat, "The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's." The transfer of battles happens on our knees. When you go on your knees, that is where we transfer the battle into the hands of the Lord. And he starts fighting for you. Take note of this. When you are strong in the secret place, you will be strong in the public place. When you are strong by yourself in the travailing in prayer, you will be strong in the public space. Why? Because there is a transference that takes place. When Moses was up on the mountain with the help of Aaron and Hur, the Bible says Moses was up lifting the staff. And as long as his hands were lifted, Joshua in the valley was overcoming the Amalekites. But when Moses' hands were dropping down, Joshua was being overcome at the bottom. So what was happening in the secret was being manifested in the battlefield. When we pray long enough, we'll see victory. And the Bible says God told Moses, "I want you to record this, dear, so that when Joshua is done, you will give it to him. He will understand how he got strength when he thought he was tired." A memorial was put there for Joshua. He was being told, "Joshua, that is the only way to be victorious is by praying." The Bible tells me when the church realized that Peter had been taken into prison, the church prayed for Peter. The Bible says they were praying in the house there, and as they were praying, the prayer of these guys triggered angelic activities, and an angel came down and took Peter out of prison. What was it? It was not so much Peter praying. It was people in the secret place interceding for Peter. So, child of God, your prayers are powerful. Your prayers are mighty. Your prayers will work things out for your family. When you start praying for your mama, you see things changing. You don't need to be in Mpumalanga for your mama to see victory. You need to be in the secret place. Why? Because in the secret place, there's no distance. What am I saying today? The power of prayer. We're going to stop there today. Next week, we're going to continue. We're going to go into the technicalities of the secret place. We're going to look at the ABCs of prayer. What makes our prayers powerful? What makes our prayers weak? How do we go longer in the presence of the Lord? Hallelujah. I want us to prepare our hearts for next week. I want us to pray and just say, "Lord, do not pass me by. Lord, do not pass me by. In this season, my life will never be the same again. I refuse to remain the same after hearing this word." I want us to pray for ourselves today.